80s people. I can see it already. It's coming on. You're out there ready to sing it out. We're going to continue our series we started last week on Just Believe. Just Believe. We started last week with just a three-part series. We talked about last week, the title of our series and also the title of last week's sermon was Just Believe. Remember, we talked about the God-given dreams that are put in your heart, that God gives us dreams and he gives us things that he's wanting to do in us. But many times we allow other people with small vision, with small dreams to attack our big vision, big dreams that God's put in our heart. And we looked at Joseph's life and how he walked in the coat of many colors, which signified the favor of his father, and how God wants to have his favor on us. And it's really easy to praise God when we had the favor. But when the coat's been stripped and he was thrown in the pit and ready to be killed or sold off as slavery, it was then that said that Judah stepped in and rescued him and stopped the plan of killing him. And we decided that, looking at Scripture, that Judah means praise, and that many times when we're in a dry place and we can't always have people patting us on the back and people aren't always noticing the favor of God on our life, it's in those times that we praise God the most. It's in those times that we declare a Judah in our life. So I hope this week that you declare Judah in your life. You declare Judah in your situation, that even when you don't feel like it, the Word of God says that we put on a garment of praise, putting aside the spirit of heaviness. It's in those times that we have to decide, I'm going to put on a praise. I'm going to have to decide I'm going to praise God even when I don't feel like it. Even when it doesn't look the brightest in my life, that's the time the most I step up and say, God, even more will I praise you. Even more will I worship you. It's the magnifying the Lord in those times, and it brings Judah, and it brings us to the place that God has us. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, believing in the spirit of the carpenter. Believe in the spirit of the carpenter. Our text is in Zechariah 1:17. Let's read it together. It's on your overhead here. And it says, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity, everybody say that word, say prosperity. My cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then I lifted up mine eyes, and I saw, behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked to me, what are these? And he said to me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then I said, what comes these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these have come, talking about the four carpenters, they have come to terrify, talk about the four horns, and to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which have lifted up their horns over the land of Judah to scatter it. We hear the word prosperity many times, and if you're like me, when I hear the word prosperity, it really kind of turns me off when I hear it in church a lot, because I've heard it talked about a lot in church, and not even so much in church as much as Christian television really does a good job at talking about prosperity. And if you're not careful, if you're like me, you get tired of hearing it all the time, to the point where sometimes you feel like a few are taking it and twisting it to try to manipulate to get what they need done. And it sickens you, and it gets to the point where you don't even want to talk about it, and it gets to the point where you just want to turn the channel. You don't even want to watch it. And I can tell you, even as a pastor, there's times I don't even want to talk about it because I know people are really sensitive to that subject when we talk about prosperity in the church, because it's been twisted around so much in the public. But I want to tell you, it's very much a thing that God wants for our lives. It's very much, we know that God wants to prosper us in every area of our life. God wants to prosper. We see through Scripture that God is wanting to prosper his people. And I like it here because it says God is declaring, he's declaring prosperity over his people. And notice what happens as soon as he declares prosperity over his people. It says that four horns rise up. Now, we know in Scripture, according to the book of Revelation, that when he talks about the four horns, that the four horns represent a demonic power, a very strong demonic power that will come and attack the church. And we know this to be a fact according to the book of Revelation. Also, when we see in Scripture, when it talks about horns, it also signifies power. Okay? It signifies power. You use horns a lot to signify power because of powerful animals had big horns. The ox and the steer and the big things they had. Powerful animals had a lot of horns, and so therefore they used those to signify power. And so when he's talking about four horns rising up, it's talking about a very powerful demonic spirit that comes against us. Isn't it very true that as soon as God speaks a blessing over you, I'm just going to tell you, as soon as God speaks a blessing over you, There are powers, demonic powers, that are wanting to attack and steal what God's wanting to do in your life. It just happens. It happens. You get a dream. Last week came out of here. Yeah, I'm going to declare Judah. Hallelujah. And we're all out here pumped and ready to go. And God's given this dream and we're ready to go back to it. And as soon as we do, man, Satan comes out and starts already bringing to demonic powers who are fighting against the very thing you said you're going to do on Sunday morning. On Monday, boom, you're in right into those powers that are trying to discourage, trying to steal away what God's wanted to do in your life and to discourage you and get you to drop your head, to give up, to quit, and just to stay status quo. Maybe you go to the doctor and you believe in God for a good report, and you go to the doctor and get a great report, and then the next day you get a report about something else, you know, and you got to answer the prayer about the first thing, but it's like the second thing. You can't celebrate over the first thing because you're already facing the second thing. You know what I'm talking about? It just seems like it always, as soon as you get a good report and God speaks something over you, something comes out and a spirit tries to attack and discourage and steal away the joy that God's wanting to do in your life and my life. And so we got to recognize that and realize that there are spirits that rise up. But the good news is this. It says that there was four carpenters that also rose up. Now, where in Scripture do we know about the carpenter? It says that Jesus' father was what? A carpenter. He was the son of a carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter, and we know according to the tradition of that time and era that whatever the father was, he taught his children the family business. And we know that to be a fact that he would pass on, if your father was a carpenter, then his sons were a carpenter, and his grandchildren became carpenters, and his great-grandchildren became carpenters. It's just the way it was. Trades were passed down from generation to generation. And so if your father was an ironsmith, and that's what each son did, and grandson did, and great-grandson did. And so we know Joseph was a carpenter, so therefore Jesus was trained as a carpenter. This is, doesn't take brain surgery. We realize by studying out today that Jesus was trained as a carpenter. But yet, he was a carpenter until he became into full-time ministry at the age of 32. He learned carpentry and worked as a carpenter. And so when it says that the spirit of four carpenters rose up, we know that the gospel has how many books that talk about the carpenter? Well, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they talk about the four Gospels, talk about the life of Jesus. It says the spirit of four carpenters rose up to attack the spirit of the four horns. And so today, this is the good news to you and I. First of all, we know that when we have a God-given dream and God speaks prosperity over our life, that there's going to be four horns, four spirits are going to rise up and try to steal and take away and discourage what God's wanting to do in your life. But the good news is this. Lift up your head because God has sent the spirit of the carpenter to defeat those horns. This is awesome. We walk in the spirit of the carpenter, that God has given us the spirit of the carpenter to overcome. We must realize that the anointing of the carpenter is greater than the power of the horns. That'll preach right there at one. The anointing of the carpenter is greater than the power of the horns. We must always realize this in our battles, in our discouragement. Because the spirit of the carpenter has been sent to build you up and to build me up. That's what a carpenter does. He builds things. And so the spirit of Jesus has come to build you up. The spirits of the horns have come to tear you down, but that's okay. Because Jesus will raise you back up. It's the power of the resurrection that he will raise you back up to be what God has called you to be. The four horns represent four spirits that come to push God's people around and to cause them to drop their head in defeat. I want to list four of them. I believe as I list these four spirits today, you're going to recognize them and say, yeah, you're right, Pastor. You're hitting it right on the head. I had several people that left today, and they were shaking my hand. I said, man, how'd you know what I was going through? I was like, I don't know what you're going through, but the Spirit knows what you're going through. And as we teach the Word of God, as we declare what the Spirit is laying on my heart today, I'm sure this is going to touch base with many, many of you. Let's talk about these spirits that try to attack our life. First of all, the spirit of lack. The spirit of lack. I mean, when you stay where you're at, you stay comfortable, things are really pretty easy. But as soon as you declare, I'm going to better myself, I'm going to get a promotion, I'm going to get a raise, I'm going to walk in health, I'm going to do better in my marriage, I'm going to do more for God, I'm going to get a vision to do something beyond where I'm at, and we start trying to go to another level, it's like the spirit of lack just attacks you. And all of a sudden, all this fear comes and it attacks you and says, there's not enough there. A lack of joy. It's a lack of peace, a lack of love in your marriage, a lack of finance. As things happen, A spirit of lack comes and tries to take away and stop you from going beyond where you're at. It's a spirit of lack. We settle for living below. We never accept or believe God will ever take us to a new level. We never want to accept that. We'll let the spirit of lack draw us back and keep us from going to a different level that God has for us. Don't buy into it. Don't buy into it. Don't buy into what the market says about your business. Don't buy into what the papers say about your business. You say this, you know what? The papers may say this about my business, but my business isn't ran by the papers. Because my life is controlled by what? By the carpenter. And I'm going to release the spirit of the carpenter in my business. I'm going to release the spirit of carpenter in my life. My marriage is not according to some book or stats that come out on Yahoo. No, my marriage is based upon the spirit of the carpenter. My marriage is based upon what God's word says about me. It's about allowing the spirit of the carpenter to raise up and to stop the spirit of lack that's trying to come to your household. The second spirit I believe that rises up is a spirit of limitation. I know that prosperity in God exists, what you say to yourself. We know that prosperity in God exists, but it's just not for me. I've already reached my ceiling. I've already peaked. Isn't that sad that many of us here, we believe the prosperity of God is possible, but yet we realize, well, I've already reached my education level. I've already reached my potential of earning. I've already reached the house I'm going to live in forever. I've already reached what I'm going to do for God. I already reached the ministry I'm going to do. My better days are behind me. You know, I've already peaked. Isn't that sad that we allow the spirit of limitation to come and to stop us? They allow us from walking in the blessing that God has for us. Which says that the spirit of limitation says that you have peaked already. Have you ever watched a documentary on elephants? I'm sure many of you have, and it's amazing how they say they train a baby elephant, that when it's first born, that they chain it up to a very big, heavy chain, and then they drive it into a stake that's been cemented several feet in the ground. It's been cemented down. There's no way an elephant could ever tear that chain from that stake because it's cemented into the ground. And that elephant will try and try and try at a young age to break free from that chain. It will try to get loose, and it will try to walk beyond. But in its mind, at some point at a young age, it says, I can never, ever get past it. And so as it gets older, becomes full grown, and has the power that we can't even comprehend, the power that it has and is capable of doing, all they have to do is tie a rope up and drive a stake in the ground, and that elephant will always stay bound to that rope and stake. Even though all it would take is a good one-time tug, and that rope would snap or come flying out of the ground, the stake would. But because that elephant feels that little bitty tug, it stops, because in its mind, it's already limited itself what it can do. And I think for many of us here, we walk in the same thing. We have allowed ourselves to limit ourselves by things that have happened in our past. We've allowed ourselves to be limited wherever we've reached a certain level. In our mind, we've already walked defeated. Oh, Pastor, I know you're talking about God's prosperity, but that's for somebody else. Because in my life, I've already reached my limit. We got to get past that. We got to break that mindset. It was Roger Bannister in 1954 who was the first person to break the four-minute mile. Up until that point, no one had ever broken the four-minute mile. It was impossible to do. No one could ever do it. So no one could ever do it. Because why? Because they told him it was impossible. Don't even try. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. And he broke the four-minute mile. That same year, after he broke the four-minute mile, 30 more people broke the four-minute mile. The next year, 300 people broke the four-minute mile. What changed in a year and a half, 2 years? Nothing changed. Just that somebody broke it, and they believed they could do it, and so everybody started doing it then. Well, if he did it, I can do it. If she did it, I can do it. And so we begin to, you know, take the limits off. And see, we got to take the limits off our life spiritually and realize that God is wanting to bless me. God is wanting to do more in my life, and I don't have to settle for where I'm at. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. God wants to use you. That's a good ministry, Pastor, but, you know, that's for so-and-so to do. They're better at that than me. I can never see it done. You know, no one ever thought about a church buying a hospital and opening up a dream center. But Tommy Barnett had that vision. It did it in downtown L.A. Now they're all across the United States. Churches buying hospitals. Mega churches going in, buying these hospitals and opening up places to restore people back and get them educated, get them housing, and get them back on their feet. I mean, someone's got to do it. Someone's got to say, it can't be done, and say, it can be done. It's like, you know, today, we got to take the limitations off of us. It's like riding a bike. You know when you ride a bike? You remember when you was a kid riding a bike? I remember my dad, you know, taking me to a hill, putting me on my bike. You know, the training wheels are for sissies. You know? Here you go, son. You learn. Go! You know, down the hill. There we go. Just go! It's kind of like they teach you to swim. They just throw you in and swim. You know, you'll make it, son. You know, they just push you down the hill. And that's back before we had helmets, you know, and styrofoam every which way. We don't need no helmets. You know, it didn't hurt me. You know, that's what's really. Throw them down the hill and they'll learn to ride the bike. You know, you're like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And in your mind, you think as a kid, I just can't do it. I'll never learn to ride a bike. This is the only kid in my block, and I'll never learn to ride my bike. But you know, the first time you ever ride it, what happens? You never forget, do you? It's not like you ride it one time, like, oh, I can't do it again. No, once you learn to ride a bike, you can ride a bike. Many of you haven't rode a bike in a long time, like me. If I brought a bike in here, if you rode it as a kid, you can ride it right now. You don't forget. And see, there's something mentally that goes along that we break through that barrier. And we got to learn to break through barriers that the spirit of limitation is trying to put on our life. That God wants to do more in your life if you'll just believe and allow him to push you down the hill sometimes. Quit worrying about the training wheels. Quit worrying about the safety net. Say, God, I'm going to abandon myself to you. God, whatever you want to do with my life, I'll do it. God, whatever you want me to do, I will go there. God, whatever you're asking me to do, I believe. If I can ever get there and break through that fear, it takes me to a new place. The limitations are stripped off of me. It's amazing what happens. You know, the hardest thing to do is, it's always to do it for the first time. The hardest time to get someone to come to church is always the first time, isn't it? I mean, you ask somebody and you witness to them and you try to get them here, but the first time is always the hardest. It's always this. Remember when you came to church for the first time? It was that first time was always the hardest getting here, wasn't it? But if you could ever get them here one time, they come here like, well, this is not too bad. Wow, this is all right. I can this music I can understand, and you know, the pastor's talking, I can understand what he's saying. This is okay. The church is not so bad, and people are going to think, all right, this is okay. And so I'll come back. It's easier to come back a second time and third time. It's that first time we got a breakthrough. You know, it's kind of the same way when we give to the Lord. You know, pastors talked about tithing and offerings and giving your offerings, and you've never done that before. And you say, you know what? All right, I know God wants me to tithe, and so I'm gonna give 10% of my income to the Lord. And that first week, you bring it down. You know, you can spot it on my way. It's like, you know, you want to say, dead man walking, ding, you know. Dead man walking, here they come. You know, and they're coming down the aisle. You know, and he's coming, bringing the offering, and they're like. Your wife's pulling you away. You're like, oh, you know how much I wrote, honey? And, you know, the first time is always the hardest. But once you give to the Lord, and you realize that you're breaking through a spirit of poverty, and you're breaking not only the spirit of poverty in your life, but you're breaking the spirit of selfishness and saying, God, I believe that your word says that you're going to take care of me if I honor what you do. And it just brings a new freedom. God, I freely give to you. And there's a joy that comes, and it gets easier. And then person, you're like, you know what? I love giving to the Lord. I can't wait to offering time. Woo, woo, woo. You know, we're coming down. We're giving away. It's like Soul Train down here. We're giving it down, ready to go. So there's something that comes when you break through that first time. It's breaking that spirit of limitation in your life. You know, some of you come from churches where the worship is a little more traditional, you know. You come from the first church of the Frozen Chosen. You know what I'm talking about. You got a polar bear in the pulpit, icicles hanging off your pews. So cool, you know what I'm talking about. And, you know, it's all right. You're going to be the first ones in the rapture. Word of God says it. Says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. It's okay. You know, it's. We're just having fun. Relax. It's okay. Just playing around. Having fun. But in all seriousness, you know, you come and you're like, man, I ain't never been to church before. They want me to stand up during worship. And I can see it on your face. It's always fun, you know, to watch people who are not used to that. They come in and they're like, oh, everybody standing? Well, I ain't standing. wife's like, get up. You know, man, I'll stand, but I sure ain't going to clap my hands. Don't even think about raising my hands. That's for the weirdos, you know. And so, but you know, the more you come and pretty soon your music's going, you find yourself tapping your foot, and the next thing you know, you're kind of clapping along. Getting going, man. You're, like I said, it's not too bad. You know, and they lower the lights down, and all of a sudden, you don't know what happens, but you're starting to feel compelled by the Holy Spirit, and something's going on, and you're connecting with what you're singing, and all of a sudden, you feel one hand go like this. You're like, what are you doing? You know? You give a little courtesy praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How are you? This ain't so bad. Yeah, I like this. Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, your lights are down, and you ever break through that one time, and you're like, wow, this is awesome. Wow, I can really feel God's presence in my life. There's something that happens in my spirit when I willingly lift my hands and sing out to Him. And I'm not ashamed to say, God, I love you. I'm not ashamed to declare your greatness in my life. There's something, this is just a freedom that comes, isn't it? We take away that spirit of limitation and we just say, God, I'm just going to go for it. God, I want more of you in my life. God, I'm just not afraid to go after you. It breaks that spirit of limitation. See, many times we walk in the spirit of intimidation. We let the spirit of fear come and grip us. And God's wanting to send the spirit of the carpenter to set us free, to build us up. Don't allow limitation to stop what God's wanting to do in your mind, in your heart, in your worship, in your giving, in your attendance, in your ministry, in your education. Come on. In your marriage. My marriage will never be better than what... No, get that off there. No, my marriage can get better. It can get better. I can be better. I can be a better father. I can be a better mother. I can be a better husband. I can be a better wife. I can be a better employer. I can be a better boss. My business can go to another level. We can have a record year in a down economy. It's okay because the spirit of the carpenter is on my business. When other businesses are closing the doors, we're going to stay open. We're going to function because God has got his hand upon what I'm doing because I'm honoring him and I'm breaking the spirit of limitation on my business. I'm breaking the spirit of limitation in my life, on my job, in my finances, in my health. God, we're going to walk, Lord, not in limits, but God, we're going to walk declaring the spirit of the carpenter. The third limitation we see happening, we see the spirit of hindrance. Now, hindrance is something that stops you from getting where you want to go. If Pastor Matt stands up and says, you know what, I focused upon the pulpit. The pulpit's my goal. God, you called me to go there. I'm going right there. This is it. As soon as you stand up and say, I'm going there, what's going to happen? The spirit of hindrance is going to step in front of you. No, you ain't going nowhere, boy. What you doing? Come on. You little punk. What do you think you're doing? It'll trip you. It will push you. It hinders what? It's hindering your progression. It's hindering your progress. So as soon as you stand, I'm just telling you right away, as soon as God says you're going to prosper, you say, yes, God, I'm going to prosper. Hallelujah. Pastor Gene preached a great message. We're going there. Hallelujah. We're going there. We're going there. I'm telling you, the spirit of hindrance is going to step up. One of those horns is going to rise up and say, no, you ain't. Get up. You can't raise your hands. Those people know what you did last night. They would not allow you to raise your hands in worship. If they know what you did in your past, do they know who your family is? Do they know what your education really is? Do they know what you really do? I mean, all these things will come and it will attack and limit you. No one else is ever, what do you think you're doing? You sit back down. See, the spirit of limitation will come and the spirit of hindrance will start to stop you from where you want to go. And the last spirit is a devouring spirit. It's a devouring spirit that comes and wants to eat away and take away all the joy out of your life. When God speaks a blessing to you, when God speaks that he's wanted to take you to a new level, when God speaks prosperity in your life, I guarantee there's going to be a spirit that's going to raise up. It's going to try to devour everything that's going on. All the fruit that you're bringing forth, it's going to try to get one bad apple so it can spoil the whole bunch. It's going to come in there and it's going to try to devour what God is trying to do in your life. You've got to recognize it. I must recognize it. You must recognize that when I decide I'm going to do something for God, I'm going to take myself to a new level spiritually, physically, mentally. When I decide financially, when I'm going somewhere differently, I'm going, God, I want to do better because I want to be a person who, like I talked about last week, who wants to bless the kingdom of God. I want to advance the kingdom of God. I want to support more missionaries. I want to help build more churches. I want to do more things for people. And so I want to be a blessing, God. I want to help ministries that are going to do that. I want to do things. As soon as you get there and start getting the plan to go, you're going to face, listen, God, does, He doesn't want you to prosper. So listen, you got to stand up and say, you know what? Even though those spirits are rising up against me, I've got the good news. Because the good news was, even though those four horns stepped up, the four carpenters were come to defeat it. The four carpenters were raised up to defeat it. And the good news is this, as our musicians are coming this morning, the good news is this, is that the four carpenters are raised up. The four carpenters bring us to the place of building us up to where God wants us to be. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach deliverance to the captives. So today, I prophesy over you today. The spirit of lack, the spirit of limitation, the spirit of hindrance, and the spirit of devourer. I prophesy that the spirit of the carpenter be released in your life today. Let me hear again. As your pastor, I prophesy the spirit of the carpenter will be released in your heart, be released in your home, be released in your finances, be released in your marriage, be released in your children, be released in your health, be released in your family, in the name of Jesus. I told the story before, and some of you maybe have heard the story, and others maybe haven't because you've been coming since I've told the story. About a time early on in my life when my wife and I were struggling. We were trying to have children, and we had had two miscarriages after a long time trying to get pregnant, difficult time getting pregnant, finally got pregnant, only to have two miscarriages back to back. And it's hard to believe we'd have problems having children, didn't it? Those of you who don't know, we have five children now. So, but that time, I remember after spending a lot of time mourning with my wife and holding her and talking through the things that we were going through, I came home one day and she was in the recliner just crying. And I could just see the spirit of fear, the spirit of limitation trying to come into my house. I mean, it was no longer just attacking my wife. It was attacking my home. I could walk in, you just feel it. You know what I'm talking about? You just feel that there was something there that was trying to attack my home. And some of you say, Pastor, this is easy for you to say, you're a pastor. This is the time in my life when, you know, I didn't have very much spiritual boldness. I was still learning to operate. I wasn't a senior pastor then. I was just freshly into learning what God. I knew it. I preached this before, but I never had to really step up and do what I did. I remember walking to the back door, opening up my back door of our home, sliding glass window, opening that thing up. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I cast out every spirit of depression, every spirit of fear, every spirit of attack on my wife, on my home, on my family. Satan, you will not have any hold here. And God, I release your spirit of freedom in my life, in my family's life, in my marriage, over my wife. And you can just feel that thing. You can feel it. Let's leave. Leave our home. You can feel that thing leaving our home. Let me tell you, when you've got something attacking you, you have the right spiritually to walk up and say, God, as a Christian today, as a child of the King, I'm going to declare the spirit of the carpenter over my life. I'm going to the spirit of the carpenter. Jesus' name, I'm going to declare his name over my situation. Even when I feel like the report's not what I wanted to hear, God, I'm going to believe that the spirit of the carpenter is going to raise up again. Spirit of the carpenter. So today, I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet where you're at today. We're going to sing and close the song today. And it talks about the resurrection of our Lord and Jesus. How many know that the reason why the spirit of the carpenter is so great in our life? Because the spirit of the carpenter specializes in resurrecting dead things. Amen? If the grave couldn't hold him, death couldn't hold him, but he rose again. And so don't you allow those horns to grow up in your life and try to kill off. That's all right. You may feel like it's already killed the dream. It's already killed the promise. But let me say today that when you declare the spirit of the carpenter, that God breathes life back into dry bones. He breathes life back into your life again, into your marriage, into your health, into your finances. He will breathe the spirit of the carpenter. Let's sing it together, declare.
If you feel comfortable, I want you to just lift up your hands and start receiving that from him this morning. Holy Spirit, God, we receive what you have for us today, Lord. Ooh, Lord,
Father, today, Lord, we release the spirit of the carpenter. God, we release your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we release your spirit to break every boundaries in our life. God, we release your spirit to break every limitation. Lord, every devouring spirit. Lord, every spirit, Lord, of lack. Lord, every spirit of hindrance. God, we release it in the name of Jesus, Lord, to cover, Lord, to destroy the work of the horns. And God, today, we know that, God, we're going to walk in the prosperity of our risen Savior. We're going to walk in the prosperity of our Heavenly Father. And God, today, you have called us, Lord, to walk in prosperity. God, not in discouragement, but God, we're going to lift up our heads and look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from you, O Lord. And God, today, we thank you, Lord, that you are empowering your people. You're setting your people free. You're encouraging. God, you're bringing belief back, and faith is rising up in your people once again. And God, we thank you for the spirit of freedom in this place. We thank you for the spirit of life that's bringing a new vision, that's bringing in new dreams, that's bursting forth, I can, and refusing to believe I can't. And God is coming forth with God will, not if, but it's God will. And Father, today we thank you, Lord, that the spirit of faith is rising in this place today. And we release the spirit of the carpenter in our life. If you say amen and agree, put your hands together and say amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, wow. I tell you what, when God shows up and shows out, it's awesome, isn't it? We know that God is here today. God is here today doing something in our lives. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to walk in the spirit of the carpenter. Justin's going to come this morning. He's going to dismiss us in a word of prayer. Thank you so much for being here. Grab those invitations. They're back here in the Welcome Center. Take them. Invite somebody. Get them here, okay?
God, we're so thankful, God, that you and your great love, God, chose to give us this word on this day, God. Lord, to release the spirit of the carpenter, God, and to allow your son and your spirit, God, to rebuild us, God, to restore, God, those walls that may have been broken down in our lives, God. Lord, we're so thankful, God, that you care enough for us, God, to want to restore us and rebuild us, God, and even to build new things, God. And Lord, we don't take that for granted, God, and we will walk in faith, God. And we will just believe, God, that you are the God of all things and you control every aspect of our lives, God. And we rejoice in that right now, God. And Lord, we release our Judah praise to you, God, and declare your magnificence, God, and your awesomeness. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.